The world says to be somebody, you got to be at the top. You got to be at the top of the list. You got to be at the top of your game. You've got to be at the top of the ladder, whatever ladder that is. You got to sit on the board, or you got to sit in the best seat, or you got to sit at the head table. You ever been someplace and had this thought, man, I wish I could sit at the head table. Or I wish I'd have been picked first, right? The higher, the better, the more valued. See, according to the world, the way up is up. But to Jesus, it's not that way. It's just the opposite. And we're going to hear about that today. The way up is down. Look at your neighbor and say, go low. So this week and next week, I want to talk about two godly virtues that I think we forget a lot about. And it's time to be reminded. It's Thanksgiving month. Next week, I'm going to talk about gratitude, but sometimes it's hard to have gratitude if pride's in the way and you're not humble. And so today, I want to talk about humility, and I've titled today's message, The Way Up is Down. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that really does set us free in a lot of ways. It points us in the right direction. It keeps us headed in the right direction. From time to time, we need to be reminded of what your truth is as it relates to some of these virtues, especially humility. I pray, Lord, that we would all be humbled the way you were, and so that we can give you the glory you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, look at Luke chapter 14. I actually want to go back into that passage and share the whole story that Jesus shared, and then we'll pick it apart and talk about it. So it's Luke chapter 14, verse 7. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. And then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. And then he ends with that virtuous soundbite that I started with. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The way up is down. Now, before I talk about humility, I want to talk about pride. I was at a conference this last week up at Gateway Church, and they were doing Q&A. And, you know, when you're in a room full of probably 50 to 75 people, and you want to ask a question. You know, it's a matter of, like, who do they see first? And, you know, sometimes you got to keep doing that, you know, because you're thinking they're going to forget. They're going to forget that I have a really good question that will help everybody. Raising my hand, and it goes over here, and I'm raising my hand, and it goes over here. But the third one comes to the guy in front of me. So he's asking his question. And the girl next to him had raised her hand. So I whispered to her, I said, hey, if the microphone comes to you, just hand it back to me. So he finishes his question, and then he hands the mic to her, and she asks her question. And then when she's done, she hands it to me, and the moderator comes over and says, because they had somebody else waiting in line over here. And in that moment, the Lord said, you're preaching on humility Sunday. And I had to change some of the thoughts I had in my head. I share that to say this, we're all in this together. We ain't all figured this out. But who would agree that we don't major in humility? It's real easy to go pride. You got to work at humility. That's why I'm sharing a message with you. Let me share with you two problems with pride. Number one, it's hard to recognize in ourselves. But others around us can see it, right? I heard this said once, pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick except the one who has it. So today I want to start with a little PQ test. You've heard of an IQ test, the intelligent quotient test. This is the pride quotient test. Just real quick, let's look down this list and see if you check yes to any of these. Number one, I enjoy being the center of attention. I think I deserve the best. Number two. Number three, much of my conversations are about me. I find it difficult to admit that I'm wrong. I don't like to be corrected or told what to do. I feel really good that I didn't answer yes to any question. Yeah. So perhaps if you didn't answer yes to any of those, you have a lying problem. But no, it's hard to recognize in ourselves. Here's the other problem with pride. It doesn't usually lead to good things. You can stay in it for a while, but at some point, you're going to hit bottom. At some point, you're going to hit something that's under the surface of the water that you didn't see coming. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We've heard it summed up this way. Pride comes before the fall. You know, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, but he was probably prideful in a lot of ways. And that word haughty means conceited, arrogant, or snooty. So pride goes before destruction. Pride leads to destruction, and maybe not in a physical sense, but it leads to falling or failing, some kind of loss, some kind of a setback. Pride, if it's maintained in your operational system and your thinking and your actions, eventually will catch up to you and bite you, and a lot of times that's not a good thing. Jesus was telling those prideful dinner guests, as he's telling us today, the best guarantee for falling or failing is to let pride stay in the way. And so I'm not faulting you for maybe having pride in the forefront of your life, but I would challenge you to deal with it and perhaps take some of the advice that God gives us in his word. Once there was four men on an aircraft, small aircraft. There was a pilot and three passengers, and they started to have engine trouble, and the pilot looked at his passengers. He said, hey, we're going down. The problem is I only have three chutes. So the pilot grabs the first chute and says, you know, I have a wife and three kids. I'm out of here, and he bails. The second guy is the genius. He's like the smartest guy in the world, and he grabs the second chute, and he jumps out. And that leaves the minister and this little boy scout. And the minister tells the little boy scout, he says, you know, you're young and have a whole lot of life ahead of you, and I'm old, I've lived a good life, and you take that last chute, and I'll go down with the plane. And the little boy scout said, Pastor, you don't have to worry. The guy that thought he was the smartest guy in the world grabbed my backpack instead of a parachute. So pride can get in the way, and usually it doesn't lead to good things. So real quick, I want to share with you a few ways that we can bring humility back into play. You don't hear a lot of people ask this question, how can I be more humble? Right? If you were to walk into a Barnes & Noble bookstore and say, hey, I'm looking for this book called How to Be More Humble, they would look at you funny. They would say, we've never heard of a book like that. And so the Bible speaks to this. That's the one book that will call it out and point you in that direction. And so three ways to bring humility back into play. Number one, if you're taking notes, see yourself as God sees you. We need to see ourselves the way God sees us. Now, before I look at a scripture verse, I just made a few notes here, little sound bites that I've heard over the years that you might want to write down. Number one is, humility doesn't mean you think less of yourself. It means you think of yourself less. Is that good? Yes. It doesn't mean that you have to deny yourself. You just don't always have to promote yourself. God will do that. God will make sure that you're promoted. And I believe the more humble we are, the more he wants to promote us. We see that in our children. You know, when our children go around tooting their own horn, it's not as much fun to promote them versus when you see your children, you know, doing what they've been told and they're not tooting their own horn and whatnot. Man, a parent loves to step up and toot their kid's horn and bless them and promote them. That's the way our Father is. But when we're going around doing it ourselves, God says, okay, you know, Here's another one. Humility is not having a poor self-image, but having an honest evaluation of who you are as the Bible describes you or how God sees you. On the one hand, God sees us as sinners who deserve eternal death, yet on the other hand, we're children of God worthy of being saved by Him. And I think we need to walk in the balance, having a healthy understanding of the balance of those two realities. Here's what Paul says in Romans 7:18. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. And I think most of us can relate to Paul. In other words, Paul realizes his sinful nature. He's not going to get it right a lot of the times. But then in the next chapter, in Romans 8, he says, but those who are led by the Spirit of God, those who have yielded to God, those who have yielded to the Lordship of God, we are sons of God. We are children of God. And so on the one hand, he says, I'm a sinner. I deserve to die. On the other hand, he said, but I'm a child of God, and God saved me so I can live. And I think we need to remember those two realities and walk in the balance of those two things. Here's another way that Jesus put it in John 15:5. I'm the vine, you are the branch. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Yet Paul said in Philippians, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And so I think it'd be helpful to remember that God has enabled us. He has given us purpose. He's given us many abilities and strengths and desires and passions. And a lot of you are really good at a lot of stuff. But I think the mindset with which you walk with that and forward is, I'm giving God the credit. And I'm using all these wonderful attributes to build His kingdom, because that's the kingdom that lasts forever, not just mine here on earth. Amen? I had this thought. God wisely designed the human body so that you can neither pat yourself on the back nor kick yourself in the seat. So without Christ, we are nothing, but with Christ, we can do all things. I think that's a healthy balance to keep us in the right lane when it comes to humility and pride. Here's number two. See others as God sees them. So number one, see ourselves the way God sees us. But then we need to see others the way God sees them. And how is that? The way He sees us. And so we should see others the way He sees us. See, pride is what makes us want to run to the front of the line. Pride is that thing that wants us to like grab that mic and not take the risk that we won't be called on. Pride is the one that wants the best seat. Pride is the one that wants the closest parking space. And so yesterday, Tammy and I, you know, again, that was on Thursday when, you know, I had a mic drop experience. Actually, it was a mic taken away. So I'm thinking about that. So at Tractor Supply yesterday, I wanted to, you know, to pass this test. And Tractor Supply, Marble Falls, Texas, you would think there would not be a long line. 10 people in line, one cashier. I'm about third or fourth in line. And, you know, you're trying to guess, what are they doing at the front that's causing this delay? You know, and you keep, line keeps getting longer. And, you know, my thought was, is, can we get somebody else on another register? I kept my mouth shut, didn't say anything. And about that time, a guy walks around, and he opens up another register. And he looks at me, and he says, you're next. And I said, I'm fine here. I was number two in line by that time. I'm fine here. You can go. And it's like God said, that a boy, Bob, you're getting it. You're learning. And so, and it felt good that I was able to give that away. I'm not sure what I'd have done if I was still fifth, but baby steps. I'm just saying this week, God's probably going to like do something or allow something to happen to bring this in front of you to see how you're going to see if we learned anything. Are we going to be a hearer of the word? Or are we going to be a doer And so again, I'm in this with you. We have to work at being humble. We have to work at humility. Now, as it relates to treating others, I love Philippians. Philippians is four chapters long, and Philippians majors on how we should see ourselves and how we should treat others. That'd be a good book to meditate on this week. You can read it in 5-10 minutes, but you can glean a lot from it. So a portion of Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3, says, do no thing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, that's pride, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest. Notice it says, don't look to your own interest. It says, don't look only to your own interest. You still have interest of yourself that you have to worry about or think about. But don't just be focused on your interest, also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The way up is down. Jesus demonstrated that for us, right? If you remember at the Last Supper, he got down on the floor and washed his disciples' feet. He was God. But instead of being served, expecting that, he set the example by serving others. And God lifted him up. And so we should humble ourselves when it comes to others. Start looking for ways to serve other people. In fact, let's say that you're the superior position in a relationship. Maybe you're the boss and you have people that report to you. What if you just tried this week? Hey, is there anything I can do for you to help you in your job? Is there a way to serve you or support you? You have everything you need. I bet if you develop this mindset of serving those under your leadership, they probably will serve you all the more. They probably will be more loyal because they know you care about them. Jesus led the way on this, and it worked out really well for him. Amen? So that's number two. See others the way God sees them. Treat them the way you know God sees you and treats you. And then here's number three, see adversity as an opportunity. You've heard this, what doesn't kill you will make you stronger. Well, the same can be true about humility. What doesn't kill you will make you more humble. There was a Mac Davis song years ago. It's hard to be humble when you're what? Perfect in every way. It was a best hit. I think it was number one at the chart. But the next year, he was hosting the award ceremony, and he didn't get elected for anything at all. And he stood before the crowd. He said, I guess it's not so hard to be humble after all. Yeah. The Bible makes it very clear that the proud will be humbled, and it often happens in adverse circumstances. We see this in the Old Testament with King David and Bathsheba. You know, King David was a man with a heart after God, but he got into a prideful season of his life where everything was going well, and he had climbed the ladder of success, and people now were worshiping him like he was God. He thought a little bit too highly of himself. And one day when he should have been at war, he was at home, and he saw the babe on the balcony across the way, Bathsheba, and started pursuing her, and she was a married woman and had her husband killed, and God saw this going on and sent Nathan the prophet to call him out on it, and then he was punished severely. The baby that they had together, God took that baby from him. And so God is a God of mercy and compassion and whatnot, but God is also a God of justice and discipline. And so at times, he will do something to get your attention if he sees that your pride is getting in the way of you pursuing him or in the way of others pursuing him. Sometimes he'll allow something to happen that will kind of bring you back into into balance, right? Back into the to the right lane. It happened to the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul began to get these amazing visions, and for some reason, God saw that as being a problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, to keep me from becoming conceited or prideful because of these surpassingly great revelations that I was receiving from God, there was given me a thorn in my flesh to torment me or to humble me. And so there's times where God has put a thorn in our life to test us, to humble us. If you're going through something right now and you feel like that might be the case, you might just go to God and say, God, is there something in my life that you're trying to get my attention to focus on? If you already know you struggle with pride, you might have that conversation with him, right? Confess it as sin, Lord. And maybe the Holy Spirit is confirming it right now in your heart as we're sharing this message and we're bringing this message to an end. What do you hear God saying to you about pride and about humility? Like I said earlier, pride comes naturally. Humility, we have to work at. We have to be intentional about it. If you bow your heads, I want to ask you a couple of questions and then maybe send you out with something that's challenging. I believe that genuine confession leads to genuine change. If you're here today and you know there's some areas in your life where pride gets in the way, why don't you just take that before God today and say, Lord, I confess I have a pride. I have a pride issue. And then tell him what it is. I like the attention that comes from being number one. I like people applauding me. I love all the positive attention. I really do think I'm better than most people, smarter than most people. But Lord, I still want to be humble in your sight. I want to humble myself so that I can serve others the way you did. You were God, but you died. You were God, but you lowered yourself. And you took great joy in serving other people. And I want that. I want to look for opportunities to serve. Because the world's watching my life thinking, no, I ought to be served. I'm at the top. But no. I want to do just the opposite. I want to turn that thing upside down. Because you have blessed me so much, I want to use it for the good of others. I want to lower myself. I want to bless other people. I want to take time out to bless those that maybe aren't blessed and show them the love of God through my actions. Just have a thought conversation with God right now. What is it that you'd like to tell God as it relates to pride? When I was a children's pastor, I would teach the kids to be third, and I taught them, it was an acronym for joy. If you want true joy in your life, the J for Jesus is first, O for others is second, and Y for you is last. When Jesus is first and you put others second and put yourself last, that's when the most joy comes in life. I just want to speak joy as you walk this message out. May you enjoy humbling yourself. May you enjoy serving others. Would you enjoy maybe putting yourself at the end of the line, letting other people go ahead of you, knowing that God sees you, God will bless you, God will promote you. The way up is down. Before I close the service, we're getting ready to celebrate water baptisms with those who have humbled themselves before the Lord and called on Him to be their Savior. Maybe there's somebody here today that maybe your life has been full of pride and, you know, you're still on the throne of your life and you've never humbled yourself to come off your throne and say, I want Jesus, who is perfect in every way, to be on the throne of my life. Maybe you've never made that decision. Today's the day where you're thinking, you know what, today would be a good day. We're on the topic. I might as well. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? I want to pray for you. Anybody? I want to come off the throne. I've been on the throne. I've been God. I've been playing God in my life. And if you're really honest, you would know it's not quite doing it. I want God to be on the throne of my life. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to come off my throne, and I'm going to go low and ask Jesus to get on the throne of my life so I can give Him my worship. Anybody? Anybody? Okay. I see your hand. Keep it up. Keep it up. Anybody else? Keep it up. In fact, go high with it. Go high with that hand. Let God know you're not ashamed. Who else? Who else? Now, here's what I want to do. I just want, in fact, all of us, if you would, let's just say this together as an affirmation of my faith. Let's just remind ourselves that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Just say this with me. Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for humbling yourself and hanging on a cross to pay for my sin's penalty. Today I humble myself and I confess I have need of Thee. I'm a sinner and I need You to save me. Starting from this day forward, I'm going to confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that You are God, that You are Lord, that You're my Savior, and You are worthy of my worship for the rest of my life, even into eternity. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.